If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Self. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. Our seminar topic is, Who Are You Really? Beyond the Body, Brain, and Nervous System. Life, here and hereafter, and beyond. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath and evoke yourself as that immortal spirit, as that conscious awareness, right down to the top of your head. Connect and align with your mind. Flood it with light. Bring that light now down through all of your chakras, all the way down to the root, and now down through your feet. Illumine your brain and your nervous system and flood your entire biophysical field with yourself. Occupy yourself as the light of all existence, as the Param Jyoti, the supreme light. God is light, and you are one with God. You are light itself. You are the light of the world. You are the light entering this dimension as conscious awareness. I'm going to lead us in a little exercise that hopefully will give you a sense of your spaciousness beyond the body, beyond the brain, beyond the mind, beyond conceptual self definition. Be aware now of your temples. Generally speaking, this is where the conscious sense of self is primarily hovering. The thinker, the one that moves about in the world. Well, maybe touch your temples very lightly so you're aware of where they are. And now put your hands down, take a deep breath, and push your consciousness out from the temples at the same time. Take a deep breath. Expand. Try to touch the walls of your room with that light as it expands. Now keep expanding. Go beyond the walls of your room. Oh, some of you have already gone beyond your house. Good. Keep expanding. Just as if you were a Google camera. Keep expanding. Well, very good. Some of you are actually beyond the earth. Excellent. Keep expanding. There's nothing holding you back. Keep going. Keep going. Oh, there you see the solar system, how tiny it is. Keep going. Keep going. Ah, very good. Very good. Keep going. Keep going. Keep expanding. Keep expanding. Expand beyond all sense of anything. Go into the supreme light itself. Go into the light that you are. Be one with that which you are right now. Experience everything as an ocean of your omnipresence, a golden ocean of love and mercy, in which your innumerable forms throughout the quantum field arise and disappear like waves. Feel everything, everyone, in the ocean of your being. Vast bliss. See things that come in form arise. Everything you see is yourself. See it dissolve and arise. Dissolve and arise again. All arising out of your own being, your own bliss. See how bodies are like water bubbles. They glisten on the surface of your awareness. Pop. They dissolve back to the ocean of Karuna Sagara, the ocean of mercy. Karuna Nandam. Ocean of bliss. Now just allow yourself to be spacious, expanded, free. There is nothing that you are not. But in highest truth, you are but love. Now take a deep breath. And gently be present, but try to keep that expanded state. Very good. You will stay there if you don't collapse into the thought. Expansion is your life. Expansion is awareness. The realization of your omnipresence. Very excellent. Open your eyes and be present. Gradually we learn to be everywhere and also very functionally here at the same time. It's an acquired skill, and it's the state that all masters live in. At least when they're working here in these lower dimensions of the nominal existence. So in all of creation, God has given human beings a very unique place and function. According to Sai Baba, unlike any other place in all of the cosmos, that's an astounding statement. So even if we have come, let's say as ascended, descending beings from another very advanced star system, which some of you have, you came into human embodiment to bring the completion, the finishing touch upon grounding the totality multidimensionally here now in conscious awareness. The human being, you see, is a bridging kingdom in nature. The human is transitional. It's the transition between the third and fifth kingdoms. The fifth kingdom being the kingdom of soul, or the jivatmas, the individualized sense of the one unified whole, the one self. That too is a temporary state. Because beyond the soul kingdom, you have the kingdom of God, the realm, the God realms, or the realms of the monad, the I Am. So the human is a composite consisting of the first kingdom, which is the mineral, the second kingdom, the plant kingdom, and the third kingdom, the animal kingdom. To be fully human, you have to have transcended the animal nature. And as we said before, not everyone is fully human yet. The human is able to give conscious service and compassion and empathy. So it is said that consciousness sleeps in the mineral, stirs into sentiency in the plant, arises as instinct in the animal, and awakens in the human as self-awareness and intellect. The intellect is the human ability to discriminate, to decide, to choose, and most importantly of all, to move beyond rational thought into the intellect, and from thence to pure intuition, which you could say is the direct knowing, the direct cognition of that which is. The human can make conscious contact with God. That's what makes it truly unique. According to Sai Baba, the extraterrestrials, at least the ones he was referring to, he didn't really qualify it as who, apparently they don't have an experience of God in the same way we do. Probably because, I'm speculating here, but perhaps they don't have that mind in quite the same way we have. They're obviously intelligent, creative, and so forth. But the mind itself is made up of three components, which are quite interesting. It has the ability to think. It has the ability to hold memory, which of course is a sense of time, which also is a function of the human condition. The sense of time arises in the human brain. That's whenever you go into a paranormal state, an altered state of consciousness, and you transcend time, you have transcended one of the major senses of confinement and limitation in this dimension. And time exists nowhere but as a perception, an interpretation of a linear sense of self, a linear sense of unfoldment that, again, is part of the human interpretation. Everything we see is an interpretation that we have made about an image that we have made. So aside from thinking and projecting, image making, which would be defined as manas, M-A-N-A-S, in Sanskrit, the mind has ego, which is called also in Sanskrit, ahankara, which means ignorance of essential oneness. It's a state of ignorance that believes that it is alone and separate. And then the mind has the buddhi, or intellect, the creative intelligence. And that's the part of the mind that can discriminate. It can discriminate between the real and the unreal, that which is eternal and the passing states, between truth and illusion, and between life and death. And this is what makes us really unique in the human form. So who are you? Sai Baba said that if we could, without any distraction whatsoever, intensely stay with that inquiry for 11 minutes, we would awaken. What does that feel like? It feels like you've set yourself free. You expand into that spacious awareness, which is your eternal sense of your eternal state. In Sanskrit, it's called prajnana. Pradyana. Pradyana means, pra means expansion. Jnana means the awareness of the self as the all that is. That's the highest wisdom. So it's the sense of all-pervasive omnipresence, or as we often call it, Satchitananda, which simply means a sense of eternal existence, omni-awareness, and all-pervading bliss, that ocean we were just expanding into. So the ego mind is what causes the world to appear and causes time and space to also be experienced, to seem to manifest as what we would call the cosmos as we look through the telescope. Really, we're seeing the contents of our own mind. We're not actually seeing anything apart from us. But it's those qualities of the mind that make false images seem to be real. So what causes birth? Desires. As long as there is a single desire, one will return here where desires can be fulfilled, tangibly, physically. So it's wise to put a ceiling on those desires and recognize that as long as the ego mind exists, the desires will continue to be there. For the mind consists solely of desires. Ego is simply the desire to be different, independent, separate from oneness, separate from God, separate from other people, separate from all life. And it's an attitude rather than an actual thing. Ego takes the form of the mind. Thinking itself is ego-generated. Always? Yes, always. It's the image-making, form-projecting part of the mind. Now, the mind, the ego, and desires, along with thinking, all dissolve in awakened awareness. Just beyond thought is awareness. Be aware when you're meditating, when you transcend thought, and you're simply aware, without thinking, without projecting, without making any effort to be or do or control anything. You're simply in a state of noticing. Very zen. You don't try to stop the mind. You just get up in the balcony of awareness and observe it. You let it do what it does. Its nature is to generate thought. Leave it alone. Let it do what it does. You stay focused in awareness. The other thing we can do with desire is sublimate it into desire for things that assist us spiritually. The desire for God, the desire for union with God, the desire to merge in the Beloved, the desire to be in the presence of the Divine, the desire to expand into your own bliss, to revel in your own self. Do you realize when you awaken, beyond desire, for the first time, you're going to enjoy life? Do you realize how distancing thought is from the experience of enjoyment of life? The reason why we keep going after things in an addictive pattern is because we've never truly been 100% present with anything that we've done as long as we're acting out of the mind. You don't really taste food when you're on the cell phone, you're talking in conversation, your eyes are darting around the room, you're doing a million things but being present with your food. And that's what causes people to have to eat too much and to have addictive patterns around food and also to gain weight. If you want to lose weight, pay 100% attention when you're eating and only eat. Pay attention to every little nuance of what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, put your 100% attention on it, and you will awaken beyond the desire. So desires and thinking keep us confined to the timeline of past, memories of the past, the continual desire to keep perpetrating and propagating and repeating those memories from the past, until you awaken beyond these unconscious habit patterns. These are what rob us of present bliss. The only happy people who are truly enjoying life are people who have transcended that mind, transcended that part that is always someplace else but here and now. So, mankind has been divinely endowed with prajnanam, all-pervasive divine awareness, which manifests as constant integrated awareness. When you're in the physical form, you can be busy, busy, busy doing things and be serenely situated in the peace of God, in total God consciousness and expanded awareness, with no attachment whatsoever to the doing. And it becomes blissful. So it's a sense of where you're doing things effortlessly as the need arises. You respond naturally, without planning, without effort, without strategizing, without trying to control and manipulate outcome. That's how to live free in this world. That's how to be a Jivan Mukta, a person that is walking on the earth but is totally free within and without. So watch, whenever you're stressed, you're putting an effort to be or do or have or achieve something, and just choose to let that go. Just be aware of it. Placing your awareness on it begins to dissolve it. Awareness does it all. Awareness does it all. Be aware. It's all that needs to be done. So your true form, this is how Sai Baba defines us, defines you, defines himself. Love is your true immortal form. Contemplate that. Love is my form. truth is your vitalizing breath. Truth is my breath. Bliss is your sustaining energy. That's your food. Your life is your message. Expansion is your life. Expansion. So your real divine self has never been born, nor can it ever die, nor cease to exist. Know that that which is subject to birth and death is not you. You, the all-pervasive awareness, the divine awareness, is the same, always, beyond birth and beyond death. So you as all-pervading awareness exist with or without the physical garment of flesh, without the brain and nervous system. I saw a picture on Facebook the other day, and it said, it showed a brain and a nervous system. You know, it just looked like a brain with strings attached to it. And it said, this is who you are. And I thought, not. No, that's not who you are. That's the wiring in your computer. That's the computer, and that's the wiring. You got the computer with the software installation, and you got the wiring. That's what your brain and your nervous system is. People are trying to preserve the brain. They're trying all sorts of crazy things to preserve the body. But you're not in the brain. The brain is just like the body. It's an instrument that you can function through. That's it. You're not the brain and the nervous system any more than you're the garage and the car in the garage. And all these are states and places and vehicles, but they have nothing to do with you. So, you may, as conscious awareness, utilize the physical body and brain and nervous system as instruments, and that's a means through which you can contact and interact with a physical dimension. Could you, as an extraterrestrial, just as easily operate through a robot or an artificially created form? Yeah, and many do. But again, we are the link between all of the kingdoms of nature, earth, wind, fire, water, ether, all the elements of existence, of creation, are contained in that. And then we have the ego mind. And then we have who we are, the divine Atma, and the individualized extension of that, that we call the Jivi or the Jivatma, the individual expression of the all that is. These are all really important. Not as things that you jettison and destroy, but you understand what they are used for, and you use them for that purpose. So again, the human being is a God-mind composite that Sai Baba said is unique in all of the cosmos, and we have the good fortune of having this body, which I understand is coveted very much by every single being that exists. They have either been a human, are destined to become human, or are presently human. But that is the great desire, is to get a human form. And oh, what a blessing to have a human form at the time that we're living in today. Oh my gosh. So you are the one who is conscious and aware beyond the instruments through which you're functioning. You are the aware one that is operating through that body, brain, nervous system. And integrating those systems with yourself as soul and monad is the whole purpose of being here on Earth, it's getting everything connected, everything occupied with your truth of being, so that that truth of being can express through you in this dimension, and thus concomitantly throughout all the spectrums of consciousness. Everything, the full spectrum, becomes actualized in your awakened self. And you do that here in this dimension, not off-planet. So that's why we need to use our lifetime and the hours that we each have every day to put them to the most, I would say, the best use possible, which is to awaken within them your fullest potential, your godhood. Now, you can also choose to operate as consciousness within the physical body, brain, nervous system state, or you can withdraw and operate within the subtle realms clothed in the substance of each of those individual levels. For example, you as conscious awareness can close yourself in astral, causal, mental, and etheric substance, or appear as an orb, or in the Zohar body, which is like an electrified, hyper-physical, hyper-dimensional state. And many, 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 many ways we can manifest our omnipresence, depending on, you know, what we want to do and how we want to serve. And again, these are abilities that we are developing on each of these levels as we go through life until ultimately we can operate consciously through all seven of our bodies, of seven levels of existence, let's say, and we can learn to operate concomitantly in all of these different bodies and operate according to Dr. J.J. Hertak in as many as 9 time zones at the same time, consciously. So, you know, it's not over. It's never over. There's always more. There's always a plus factor in spirit. You never get to the place where you go, that's it, I'm done. No, you're always on the threshold up next. So what happens to you when the body drops and is said to be dead? You want to know what happens to you? Nothing at all. Nothing at all? Correct. Absolutely nothing at all. You, as conscious awareness, have nothing to do with birth and death. You remain as you are. You are Amara, immortal, right now and forever. Could you step free of the physical brain and nervous system and body and not even be aware that you had released your physical body? Yes. And quite a few people do. When stepping free consciously and deliberately by withdrawing your focus of involvement with the physical body and dimension, that is what advanced individuals and yogis do, and that's called Maha Samadhi. They call that the great sameness. Samadhi means the state of equal-mindedness, equal buddhi, equal oneness. So as divine omnipresence awareness itself, you embody or not, as whichever suits your intended purpose, masters always consciously choose their manner of manifestation. That's what makes them a master. People often ask, does it hurt to die? No. It is generally extremely pleasant. For some, it's like slipping into sleep, a very familiar and pleasant sensation. For those of you who practice soul travel with the spiritual travelers, it feels like when you are leaving your body and traveling on the higher dimensions. Very often people fall asleep, or they go into where the body's asleep, but they're awake inside and aware. But it's very, very pleasant and very peaceful. So when you practice the spiritual exercises of the light and sound currents through Ekankar or the movement of spiritual inner awareness or one of the many Sikh Sirat Shabd Yoga lineages, you're taught to die daily by moving into soul awareness beyond the mind, beyond the body, beyond actually awareness of this level. You die to this level and you awaken to those other levels. Some people do it more consciously, some people just fall asleep, but nevertheless, however you do it, you have transcended the world, whether consciously or unconsciously. So the challenge is to become more conscious with that process. And it's interesting, when you die, like when you go to sleep, like when you soul travel, it's like there's part of you that knows how to do that, and it's very aware and familiar, and you just do it. You just know how to do that. So that part of you that is very aware at that level and knows exactly what it is to be born, which is to die to the level that you're leaving and be born as a baby, or to die and move to the next level, it's the same process. You're moving in and out like that ocean in which things arise and subside, but you're doing it as consciousness, not as a body. So it's the same with being born. It's a slipping away from one level of awareness into a new one. And each, depending upon one's state of consciousness, has slightly different experiences. Well, there's kind of a general way that we tend to move through these things because everything is divinely orchestrated and guided. We each individually, depending upon where we're parked in our belief system and our consciousness, undergo it in a slightly unique way. Now, for those individuals who are suddenly killed, like, for example, in an accident or collision, in my experience, the experience and that testimony of many, many people who have gone through this, you have a feeling where everything is slowing into slow motion. One is aware without any fear whatsoever of crossing into the next dimension. Everything slows down. Now, where there's been some form of psychic or psychological trauma or a protracted period of extreme stress or pain or illness or whatever, that individual is usually taken to the hall of rest and allowed to basically sleep it off. This is where I found my father. I was able to visit him on the inner plains, and he was in what looked like a large dormitory or a hospital ward. And there were inner plane assistants, very much like nurses, and they went about watching and assisting. And when people were either awakened after some time or had awakened, they were adjusted and helped to integrate into their new state of existence. So for most, the whole thing is a loving, kindly attended process. One may also step into such a love-filled, incredibly beautiful, natural environment and realm that one may want to just stay there forever, and it may not be your time, and they send you back. Very, very few people really want to come back. They're drawn back because of a sense of love or responsibility or attachment to people that they're responsible for in the physical. But nearly everyone wants to go on. So one is almost always met by loved ones who have already passed over, because love is greeted by love. One can see a great loving light. One can see an individualized manifestation of that supreme light. Jesus, Sai Baba, Yogananda, John Roger, whoever one's master, teacher, or guru happens to be, that one will often be there to greet you and take you on. So who sees these things if one never dies or is never born? as we have stated earlier, who is it that sees these things? Well, the highest truth is that God is the light by which you see. And vision is the gift that God gives to each one of us to see. But do we just see through the eyes? No, we see not through the eyes, but through the awareness. So God is the awareness by which we see. That awareness appears as light and sound. And the beginning was the Word. So in the death process, the last sensation is hearing. Because the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And in the beginning was the Word. And out of the Word everything came into existence. And we're embodiments of the living Word of God, the sound current. And so the last sense to leave is the Word, the sound. You literally flow out in the music, the melodic current of God's living Word into the living light, which is the first manifestation out of the Word of God. And that is what we call awareness. That is who you are. You're the Word incarnate. You're the light of awareness. You're the one who sees. So one's imagined identity consists of one's belief system and expectation, which then takes form as one's experience, both here in this world and in the hereafter. Now know this. I bet you wondered about it too. Every city or region on the planet has its corresponding and matching heavenly realms, as does each period in history and every religion. So, obviously, somebody dying in the 21st century and passing into the other realm is going to have a world that matches very much this familiar world. Not going to be born 2,000 years, you know, what was happening in biblical times. So as you pass into that next dimension, often it's a replica of where one has been living on Earth or believing that they're going to experience when they cross over. We're not disappointed. We're given exactly what we expect. But I would say this. For those who love God with all their heart, mind, body, and soul, who are true devotees of the Lord, they go into most unimaginable state of joy that you could possibly imagine. So incredible is the reward of those who have lived a life of God attunement. So often we're amazed at how wonderfully we are supplied by exactly what we most love and wish for. It's like the entire quantum field of existence rearranges itself to accommodate our picture of reality. Unless, of course, we've utterly surrendered to God and we've just let God give us what He has come to give. Liberation itself from wanting, needing, desiring, limiting, distancing, separating. God wants to give you the wholeness of your whole being, which is what it means to be truly saved. It's a return to original wholeness. And that's what it means to be liberated. Now, when you're liberated, you can return to Earth and serve, help others. You can stay in one of the inner realms and help there. You can return and merge with God and just enjoy bliss for a while. You can come and go at will. You can go forth and create universes and beings to populate those universes. You're unlimited. You're absolutely unlimited. So is there a personal God, a creator, a Lord, a savior over all? Yes, absolutely. There are many levels of the spiritual agents that extend God's love and grace throughout creation. And yes, they take individual forms. Is there one supreme God that's over all, that does not manifest? Yes. Yes. The one about whom naught can be said. So we always create a form, if you're in a form, because you can't really relate to something that's formless. So the image making and the image manufacturing and the image worshiping is very, very important. As long as you don't stop there, as long as you realize that's a symbol and not the totality. And yes, to the devotee, those images often come alive. I have a wonderful, almost life-sized Murti of Sai Baba, a sacred image of Sai Baba that I bought in India and painted. It has come to life. It moves. People have seen the Murti actually turn directions. It smiles. Sometimes it looks like it's Sai Baba's image steps right out from it. It's very, very alive. It has an aura. It's freaked out many people. And my love and devotion for Sai Baba has given it that form of manifestation in my life. I've done that with pictures. Not I've done it. Sai Baba has done it through his pictures. I've got one right now I'm looking at, and it's exactly alive. It's not a, you know, it's not inanimate. So God is in everything you see because God is the light of vision itself by which you see. And that light is resident in every cell of your body. It's conveyed as an etheric energy through each of the nerves. It occupies every strand of your DNA. It's above, below, within, without, visible, invisible, everywhere you look. God is in everything you see because God is in your mind. God is in your eyes. God is in every cell of your being. And God is the light of true perception, of true seeing, of vision itself. So when you're in the afterlife, for many people that are good people, but they have a lot of desires, they go to a realm called Devakant. That's a Sanskrit term, which means the God land, the land of God. They speak about it in theosophical literature and Vedic literature. And this is a realm that consists of a blend of impulses and thought, or kama. It's called kama, which is desire, manasik, mental. So it's a composite of desire and thought. And here you get to stay and have the fulfillment of your desires. You stay there and you get to experience the things you wanted to experience in life and didn't get to. So it's a land of fulfillment, wish fulfillment. And you stay there until the predominant or the selected desires are fulfilled. But then you have to return again and operate through another body, brain, nervous system on Earth, or sometimes another planet. Usually you'll go back to Earth because that's where you have your most recent experience and consequently your attachment. This depends, you know, on where you came from to get to Earth and how attached you are to Earth. So is there a life review? Yes, sometimes. In fact, often. Is there a court of Dharma Raj that one has to go before, or a karmic board, or Lord Yama? For some, yes, but not all. Those who are initiates of the spiritual traveler lineage are taken directly to where they need to go on the inner plane, so they don't have to go before the court. So Sai Baba said that not everyone experiences the same thing. Basically, you are asked questions which you answer from your true self, as soul. And you know if you've learned what you needed to learn on Earth, or if you still need or want to return in another body. In either case, it's always fair, just, and one is content with whatever transpires. You never see one that, at least I don't think so, I've not experienced it anyway, where one fights that process because it's so intensely just that you know that that is the right thing that you have to do. So no one is allowed to leave this incarnation, regardless of the circumstances, until it is spiritually clear and the time to do so. God truly does not allow you to leave until it's in alignment with what is for the highest good for you. According to the Master DK, death involves a 9-year period of gradual abstraction. Even if the physical passing seemed to be sudden or unexpected, it actually never is. And according to many, 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 many near-death experienced people, including myself, you are always out of the body before you actually die. That may seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. Many, many, many people report having been in the process of watching their own murderer, for example, feeling a great compassion for that person, but being out of the body and observing the process. The same thing with any great criminal act. You're out of the body before the beheading. You're out of the body before the rape. You're out of the body before accidents, whatever. Usually watching the whole thing without pain, without fear, just a great deal of curiosity, as you can imagine. And so that's important to remember. If you have loved ones that have committed suicide or have been victims of criminal action, take comfort and know that that soul contracted for that experience, and they're not in the body and they're not suffering. That's why many victims have pushed that into the subconscious. They don't even remember it. That's merciful. Why remember something that you don't have to remember? So there are probably as many varying states of experience in the here and as there are in the hereafter and in the hereafter as there are here. And each state in which we find ourselves is a perfect match to one's accustomed state of consciousness. Are there many heavens? Yes. Are there purgatories? Places of purification where you work through things of a negative nature on the inner planes, or bardos? Yes, there are temporary places where you can work on yourself and, in a sense, overcome habits and states of consciousness that would be considered unfit to go into the higher levels. Yes, there are those places. Excuse me. Are there hells? Yes, but they're states of consciousness that we put ourselves in. They're not created by God. They're not God-ordained. And the fact is, no one ever goes to hell who calls upon the name of the Lord. What it says in the Bible, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many, many Christians who found themselves in hellish states, the minute they called out to Jesus, he came, instantly came, and delivered them. So whenever you're in a situation which is hellacious, yell for Jesus. Why Jesus? Well, among all the masters, he's the one that has dedicated himself to saving us, specifically saving us. That's his, you might say, self-chosen mission. to prevent us from falling into hellacious states of consciousness, to deliver us from evil. I mean, that's his thing. So call on him, for heaven's sake. Could you call on someone else? I suppose, yeah. But not everyone has that job assignment. Not everyone makes that their specific business. Jesus the Christ is quite simply the Savior. He's an extension of God's saving love and grace. He was when he incarnated 2,000 years ago, and he is that today. Even more so today, because he's more, of course, developed than he was 2,000 years ago. So no one ever goes to hell forever. It's an experience beyond time, so it feels like eternity. What is hell? It's a conscious desire to be separate from God. Who goes there? People who do not want God, who want nothing to do with God, who want nothing to do with love. They've never opened their hearts to love. So they don't want love. They don't want God. They don't want to join in unified field. So what happens? They self-isolate. What is that? It's hell. The sense of being separate from love. That is hell. Do I have fire? I suppose, because people keep visualizing that. So you get what you expect. But in highest truth, the spiritual light gives a burning sensation in the body when the body's of a low vibration. And it does the same thing to the subtle bodies. If they're in a low, negative, hate-filled, ego-locked sense of self, that spiritual light is going to feel like hell to them. It's going to burn them. Why? It's a different vibration, and it's purifying them. That would be the purgatorial type of purification. You have to be godlike to merge with God, and God is love. So that's why we're guided to live lives that are clean, that are holy, that are wholesome, that are Christ-like. Christ demonstrated how we can have a perfect relationship with our Creator. So again, if you live in a state of self-imposed alienation from God, love, goodness, then you yourself judge yourself as worthy of hell. Many people do that. They say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to hell because I'm so whatever, whatever. So it's a self-imposed state, but never eternal. It's temporary, but again, since it is experienced in timelessness, it can seem to be eternal. But nevertheless, all are found and delivered, everyone without exception. All of the heavens, bardos, hells, realms are all created by imagination, thought, beliefs, expectation, indoctrination, and all are temporary, caused by misidentifying oneself with time, space, and phenomenal concepts of self and life. In truth, in highest truth, one has never left the heart of God. One is the heart of God. One has never left eternal love, eternal bliss, eternal existence. One is and remains forever, one with God. One has only dreamt all of this. In reality, none of this was anything more than a cosmic play of consciousness, a big dream. So, when every master and avatar and awakened one tells you to wake up, that is what we're here to do in this life, in this body. Or to wake up from all dreams of separation from eternal love. Love is who you are. Love is your form. So I hope this has been helpful. It's a profound subject. There are answers to all the questions that you could think of to ask. But you have to have the willingness to know the truth that sets you free. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on IQ. Deep breath. On IQ. Know yourself as immortal love. Be a vehicle through which love touches to everyone, every day, wherever you are. Be that living love and that presence of immortal bliss right now and every moment of your life. God bless you. Namaste.